Starts. All right. Hello, everybody, and welcome to our case study call, our first one of the year and of the decade. So let's make this a really great learning opportunity. The only case I saw submitted was Michelle's. So I got yours, but I didn't see any others. So we'll just do Michelle's and we'll have whatever conversations we have, and then we'll go from there. I'm going to take some. So tell us about your person. I'll share my screen. It's an email, so I didn't move it to. Sometimes when they send me these, they send them in the, where is it? They send a link and I can upload it onto the internet piece. But anyway, let me go here. Any cases? Here we go. 1-6 came in today, yesterday. Okay, cool. All right. So let me see if I can share this screen with this easily. It's kind of hard to do. Okay. All right. Let me try sharing my screen. And then you also had a lab that went with this. So share. All right. So tell us about your person.
African-American male. 19. Mm-hmm. We started this journey in about November, the beginning of November, when I was called in and he was having a psychotic break. Ooh. And his friends called me in saying that I was the only person that he wanted to talk to. And we learned historically he had a history of abusing alcohol. Mm. And that ended in a car crash.
Oh boy.
Where he lost awareness and miraculously walked away. But wow. The car was completely totaled.
Wow. Was this recently or how long ago?
No, that was a year prior.
A year prior. Okay.
Yeah. So not realizing what I know now, the fact that you walk away from something and everything seems copacetic does not mean that everything is copacetic. So in any case, after that, he decided that he was going to use a safer alternative. And for him, the safer alternative was marijuana. Mm-hmm. So got into using that significantly. And I believe that's part of what led to what they are referring to as a drug-induced psychotic break, where he got to the point of being extremely paranoid, thinking everybody was after him, trying to kill him.
And that was not there before the...
No, not at all. Not at all.
Okay.
Running wild in the woods, naked.
Wow.
Because of all of that paranoia. And that's, like I said, when I was called in. Ultimately, he was admitted to a psychiatric unit. There, of course, they play Russian roulette with a variety of medications. They finally landed on Zyprexa. I wasn't satisfied with that. So what I did is that I started doing more research and I actually got back on the circuit for the Amen Clinic with the research from Dr. Daniel Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And I, interestingly enough, I had gone down that route before with Javita, but then I dropped it because it was like, oh, it costs so much money. But anyway, so we were able to pull him aside for a little bit, but he kept on saying, oh, there's nothing wrong with me, and just going on a deep end and getting back to the marijuana and things of that nature. Then he had another loop-de-loop and he decided he was going to go in the middle of the night to make copies of his artwork. At that point, he got run over by a car, broke both of his legs.
Oh no.
Laceration in the head, lost his front teeth. And again, spiraling downward. Shortly after that, he ended up in the psychiatric unit again. And again, they Russian roulette with various medications. So at that point, now we have a running bill of almost $100,000 in medical bills.
Oh, Lord.
And I had that point is like, huh, looking at the price of a scan, it's the drop in a bucket in comparison, right?
Comparison, right? Yeah.
So we drove up to Atlanta.
Was there an Amen clinic in Atlanta?
Yes, there's an Amen clinic in Atlanta. And we had originally scheduled to do three different scans, two SPECT scans and one QEEG. But with his paranoia and complete everything, the only thing they were able to do was one.
Mm.
And we left. The scan shows that there is damage to the temporal lobes as mm-hmm. well as and they said that that's more than likely brain damage from the two car accidents. They can't really distinguish.
Tell what, distinguish.
But, yeah.
But they think it's that versus something that he'd had.
Well, the temporal lobe damage is from the accidents themselves. But then there's also imbalances within the deep limbic system, the basal ganglia, and you can see like indentations in the cerebral cortex, the frontal cortex, where it's inhibited. And they said that that's one of the side effects of marijuana usage and alcohol usage. The good thing is that at this age, everything can pretty much regenerate because it hasn't finished developing anyway. And if he were to go back onto a brain healthy regimen, that it would reverse itself because of his age.
Yeah.
It can be done within, you know, maybe a year or two kind of thing.
Is he open to that? Or, you know, that's the issue you get into.
Well,
they're in such a brain state that they don't cooperate.
Exactly. Yeah. So we've gotten to the point where slowly we're doing the protocol. So the protocol involves megadosing with GABA, for the temporal lobe damage and a variety of brain stimulating supplements, megadosing with omegas. So mm-hmm. like 3,000-4,000 omegas daily.
It's actually not megadose in the brain world. So that's a reasonable amount. You're not going to start to worry about, like some of them do 10 to 20.
Yeah. Yeah. And, also doing a variety of different nutrients, brain healthy nutrients. So Dr. Amen has his brain pack, let's put it that way. So we're using that. But what I did is that I decided to run a panel because given my history in researching this and dealing with Javita, I know that these types of breaks don't happen out of nowhere. There's always pre-existing imbalances that can make you more susceptible to that.
Exactly.
So when I ran the brain panel, the first thing that jumped out was a fasting insulin of 25.9.
Yeah. Oh my God.
And what comes to me is that it's not necessarily food-based because the A1C is sweet. The fasting glucose is good, but what I'm thinking more of is oxidative stress and rise in cortisol that could possibly, because he doesn't sleep, you know, so he's constantly ruminating. No matter how much, I've tried practically everything from valerian to kava kava to 5-HTP, melatonin.
Even with all the GABA they have him on now?
Yeah,
even with all that GABA.
Yeah. So every now and then we'll get a good sleep run, but it's still come and touch and go kind of thing.
Yeah.
And just constantly ruminating. So we're...
Have you tried cortisol lowering stuff like Magnolia, phosphatidylserine, that kind of stuff?
Well, that's all put into, like, we have his sleep his sleep remedy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then various teas, because he'll drink teas. He loves drinking teas.
Well, that's good.
And so that's a concern. And then looking at his cholesterol, triglycerides, LDL are low, significantly low. And then, so that's the other reason why I was looking at oxidative stress, because when those are low, then, you know, that's more than likely bad and inflammation. And then looking at his hemoglobin and his hematocrit, those were, let me see, switch over here. His hemoglobin and hematocrit were low. So all the other ones, the MCV, MCH, MCHC, those are fine. His iron is fine. His ferritin is fine. So yeah, it's not an iron-based thing. It's more the B vitamins and C, folate, that kind of stuff. So what I was wondering is if it would be more advantageous to do a blood-based test for vitamin and mineral status or to do the oat test. And
yeah,
and there's probably a methylation issue, so that's why I've now gone to order methylated.
So I'm looking at it now. His MCV, globulin's high as well.
Yeah, the globulin is high, exactly. And so, again, that's why I was saying that it looks more from the research that I got from Dr. Weatherby. He said that's more indicative of sympathetic dominance and stress, as well as zinc and, of course, your B vitamin. Right. Insufficiencies kind of thing.
Well, I'm also looking at the iron ferritin ratios. He's got 88. Let me share my screen.
Yeah, the ferritin is extremely high.
It's high. And then compared to the iron, right? So yeah. That's an issue.
That he has all of this storage, but it's not really.
But it's not releasing, right? Exactly. It's not releasing. And that's usually an oxidative or liver.
Mm-hmm.
Issue. Let me see if I can do this share. I'll share the screen for this. Where is it?
So that's why I was looking at doing the methylated program to support the liver, as well as I'm going to start upping the vitamin C and B complex.
Have you done any genetics? Do you know about COMT status? Because mm-hmm. the worst thing you can do for somebody like this is put them on methyl and have them get methyl blocks with anxiety, because that can be severe anxiety, mm-hmm. suicidal, irrational. Just so you, I would be super careful about upping the methylateds, you know, because if he has a COMT homozygous, uh-huh. with all this stuff going on, that could be dramatically bad.
Okay.
All right. So hematocrit is low. The hemoglobin is low. MCV is actually MCV is fine.
Yeah. Oh, the MCV, MCH, MCHC.
Yeah.
All of those are fine. It's just the hemoglobin, hematocrit, the RDW is elevated slightly.
Yeah.
So that's why I was looking more so at the folate, B12, vitamin C, B6 kind of.
Yeah, I wouldn't from this blood.
No.
I wouldn't be inclined to go there. You can, if you do either the oat or the other one, if you can swing cost wise is the Nutrival from, Genova, because that'll include an oat, it'll include the fatty acid status, it'll include the vitamin minerals in their appropriate compartments like white blood cell or red blood cell. But it's about a $600 test versus a $300 for an oat.
Yeah. So the oat is preferable over a blood sampling?
Yeah, blood vitamins and minerals are really not that accurate.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
I would at least want him to get an MMA. And the chironate for the B6 and some of the other functional markers mm-hmm. to see what's going on. B6 you could probably safely give mm-hmm. him.
Yeah, because that
could calm there. Everything down. Is that in the protocol for Naaman?
Yeah, that's part of the. I'm sure it's part of the. Well, the GABA actually isn't Amen's GABA because I need the psychiatrist prescribed 2100 GABA twice a day. So that's like, yeah, extremely high. So I couldn't get that through Amen. I would have to be.
What's the formula of GABA? You got to be careful. Sometimes it won't cross the blood-brain barrier unless it's leaking.
It was the one that he suggested was not designed for health. It was.
Was it Thorne?
No, not Thornton.
Thorne. Usually if the GABA gets into the brain, if you do high levels, that's very high. Cause even like Karazian's test, he does like have you do 1,000 as a test. And if you see a calming, you know, the good news is the GABA is calming you. The bad news is you're a leaky brain, blood brain barrier. Right. So with 2,200 twice a day, that's massive. Do you see a change in him with that?
Yeah. He's calmed down. It's just that the delusions haven't shifted yet. So that's why I don't think the GABA addresses that. I think the GABA addresses the calming, but it doesn't address, you know, thinking straight.
So I would seriously look at B6 because I don't think over short term you can get in trouble with high doses. P5P, even maybe 50 milligrams twice a day, just because of the effect it has on the neurotransmitters. And I've seen a lot of research with schizophrenia and paranoia with high levels of B6.
Yeah. So I've been doing the high levels of the niacin and that has to be done in conjunction with the B6. So that's what we've been doing. It's just that it's hard to get him consistent with that. And so I think, you know, because with the niacin, you have that whole flushing issue.
Right.
And it has to be that version of it, you know, so it has to be titrated up slowly. So that's been part of the challenge, getting him to be consistent with titrating it up slowly.
And can raise blood sugar too.
That's the thing.
His blood sugar is good. And I want to go back to that because you made a comment that I just want to have a little discussion about. You said that, the insulin was high.
Extremely,
obviously, but the blood sugar was perfect. It was 80, and I don't remember what your A1C was, but it looked decent.
And I know you can have that up and down with that balances and averages out, but the LDL, not the LDL, the LDH, am I saying it right?
LDH,
yeah, the LDH is good. It's not low, which would indicate reactive hypoglycemia.
But the 4.8 is really excellent on the A1C, but you wouldn't expect it. But that's
so that's why I was expecting a low LDH, which would tell me, okay, it's dropping at some point.
Yeah, so it could be. But the other possibility though is that a high level of insulin has created resistance, but his body is making, because he's young, right? His body's still making enough to pass the threshold of keeping the blood sugar steady, right? Mm-hmm. So if he had like a 2.5 on insulin, we'd likely see the elevation in the blood glucose. And just extrapolating, right? But I would guess that we would see the elevation of the A1C and the other, because it's like the body goes, okay, not getting it down yet. And he's getting to the point where he had 56. And I remember, I think it was Mercola writing a case study about this woman, and, you know, blood sugar was perfect, but her insulin's, you know, she had signs that she had insulin resistance and blood sugar imbalances. And when he tested her insulin was 90 fasting. Ooh. Like, and this lady was like in her 70s or 80s. So for whatever reason, her pancreas was like never, it was just not, you know, it was not giving up. It was just like, boom, 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 I'm going to keep it steady. Right. So I think that might be happening here. And because he's 19, he still has the capacity to just keep producing it to bypass that level of resistance. Mm-hmm. So that's another thing to think about, right?
So why is it so elevated then?
Because he's developed insulin resistance over time. right? Now, why did he develop that? That could be the oxidative stress, right? That the receptors are getting damaged. It could be a lot of things. He's been doing alcohol and marijuana. Who knows, you know, diet-wise, he's not necessarily getting the munchies and going off and eating broccoli. Mm-hmm. Likely, right? So food-wise, you know, and sugar, like from marijuana, you get the munchies. It's you want ice cream.
Carbs.
You want carbs, right? So that's probably why you don't have numbers from before he started that. So it's hard to know.
Before he was trending upwards, because I've been tracking my kids' A1C for a while.
Okay.
So before his A1C was 5.7.
Oh.
So that's why I was like, no, you got to change your diet. And so they had made certain changes and he had brought it down to a 5.2.
Okay. Now it's 4.8.
Yeah. So, but that 25 insulin is like screaming. And I know that he fasted for 12 hours.
He did. Okay.
Yes.
But even if it was 25 postprandial, it's still high. So.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. For it to be 25 fasting after 12 hours is like alarming to me.
Yeah. I mean, the other thing, and you know, make sure this is not there. It's unlikely in a 19-year-old boy, but an insulinoma, right? A pancreatic tumor that's producing insulin.
Would that account for he's like constantly hungry?
Well, with high levels of insulin, what does insulin do? It makes you hungry.
It's this cycle.
And the blood sugar drops from the insulin, so you eat more, and then the insulin goes back up again. And you know, if it's at 25 fasting, you know, imagine what it's going to after he eats. So yeah, that would make him constantly hungry.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But I mean, it's unlikely. I'm just saying that that's, if
you're
trying to rule things out, you just want to make sure that there's not, you know, a tumor, or sometimes they're even in ectopic places, right? They're on a kidney or whatever, where that means, you know, that it's a pancreatic, you know, an insulin producing tumor, but it's somewhere else in the body. That's what you mean. Okay. So, but again, unlikely for someone his age.
Mm-hmm. So moving forward, what would be the, so to do the oat test, since I'm not able to do the Nutrival, to do the oat test,
and I would go for B6. I mean, I don't think it can hurt, although you may want to do it after you collect for the oat test, but while you're waiting for the results, right? You collect it, because I think that B6 is most likely going to show up. That's just my gut feel.
Yeah, I think so also. And like I said, it has to be done in conjunction with the niacin anyway.
Mm-hmm. So, it's just a matter of getting enough in there. If he's already got a tendency to be deficient, if he has one of those gene SNPs that predisposes him to low B6, then, he's going to need way more than you normally would give with the niacin.
Like, how much are we talking about with B6?
I think you're just going to have to keep titrating. How much do you have them on now?
I think it's like 50.
50? P5P? Or hydrochloride?
I have it downstairs. I don't remember which one it is.
So if it's 50 P5P, that's a substantial, decent amount. If it's 50 pyridoxine hydrochloride, it's kind of a mushy, I wouldn't say that it's a good amount. So I would say, see what happens, get the oat back, and then see where he's at with that. And then you can titrate it up. You may have to keep, you know, if he's super low in B6, at 50, and it is P5P, you're going to have to go to 100, 150, maybe even 200 of the P5P, at least to make up the difference, right? Because if you have two compounding things, one is the high level of niacin, one is like a genetic or, you know, metabolic imbalance that's predisposing him. Right.
Okay. And in terms of the insulin,
how do you get insulin down? Like getting him off of the alcohol and getting him off of the,
that's gone now for about 2 months.
Okay, good. Keeping him off of that, keeping him off the sugar, all the things we know that support insulin receptor improvement, right? So there's a bunch of foods in the little booklets that we have, you know, carob and avocado and a whole slew of other things and all kinds of herbs to help that. Chromium and magnesium, I wouldn't forget about those guys, because if that's going to help to reverse some of the insulin resistance, making sure his DHA is good.
Yeah, well, that's part of the
Amen protocol. Yeah,
and I was going to do the glycin from Apex that has the chromium, and that
glycin is good. The other ones that I've liked are Pure Encapsulations has a.
That's the one that has the GABA.
That's the one that has the GABA. Okay, and then there's Restorative has a good glucose formula as well, glucose lowering formula. So just play around with them and see which one sounds better. You know, use some of your intuition to figure out ingredient wise and that what, because you know when you're figuring that out for formulations, you're kind of guessing, but you can use your intelligence and your intuition combined together to determine which one might be best.
And I guess I wanted to just impress upon everybody else that, and you remember a couple of months ago, even before all of this, I was voicing my concern about this major trend in our nation with marijuana. And I can't say this loud enough that it's just a Band-Aid. It's just another Band-Aid to make people feel good, but it's not addressing the underlying causes of anything.
No.
And more so, especially after looking at a lot of the research from Dr. Amen, the effect that it has on the brain is tremendous. And
immature brain, especially
immature brains, exactly, that are
boys' brains are immature till 25 at least.
Exactly.
So, right.
But because of what's going on in the nation, what I have to keep on dealing with him is, oh, it's safe, it's natural. You know, they're prescribing it now. So of course it's the bomb. And so he says to me, Mom, why wouldn't you want me to take this? It's all natural. You want me to take these supplements, but you don't want me to take this natural herb. And I'm like, oh my God, how do I deal with that?
It's a tough one. And is it safer to take that than an anxiolytic medication? Sure. Probably is. And can you get it with reduced or no THC? You know, and mostly use the CBD component, which isn't going to give some of the hallucinogenics. Yes, but that's not why they're taking it. They want the THC.
Exactly.
And for that, is it safer than alcohol? Probably is, which is legal. So I'm really like, okay, make it legal, because alcohol is legal. Maybe people will use less alcohol, but that paranoia is so common.
Yeah.
And anxiety from it is very, very.
People don't realize that, you know, like even when I was talking to his sisters and they're like, oh, well, it goes away after a while. And I'm like, but do you recognize that if it's doing that, then something is happening to the brain? It's not good.
It's not good. You shouldn't do any of it. I'm anti all of it, but
exactly.
You know, and coffee, the same thing. People are like, oh, coffee, bulletproof.
Yeah.
It's an addictive drug.
Yeah.
And I mean, it has some good things to it, but it's an addictive drug.
And what was really fascinating when they did the scan with him and they were showing that the ACS, the anterior singularis, was lit up. And so the doctor said it makes sense that he would self-medicate with marijuana.
Yeah.
So
to calm that down.
To calm that down, as opposed to using things that we know to use through foods and exercise and, you know, healthy thoughts and dealing with our emotions.
Heart math and all that.
Doing the work that nobody wants to do.
Well, that's the thing about the work. And there was somebody I was listening to today. It was on a mastermind call and he was talking about how they sell a supplement and then they try to upsell them into the program to go through the supplement. And the person that he was coaching with was like, why? People who want a supplement, they don't want to do the work. You just want the supplement to do the work. Like, because he's like, well, I don't know how many we actually buy. A bunch of them click through, but not very many people actually buy it. Like, they want the quick fix, right? Mm-hmm. You can sell them the work, the program, and then sell them the supplement to go with it, because supplement is a supplement to the work.
Yeah.
But people, they don't want to do the work. They want the quick fix.
And that's why I say to people, you know, for me at this point is crisis intervention. I have to bring back balance, and then I can work on the underlying issues. But he's out of his mind at this point.
You got to get him back in. And that's the thing. You can't talk to him about what to eat and what he's feeling it. He's feeling like he needs to self-medicate. Mm-hmm. And he's not going to make good decisions. I mean, 19-year-olds don't make rational decisions most of the
anyway.
But, you know, a 19-year-old who's got all the brain stuff going on and then is self-medicating, yeah, you can't, you've got a intervention, right? That's the crisis care, the band-aid.
Exactly.
Band-aids are really important. You've got to do it. But you've also got to help people to work on it. And it's hard with a 19-year-old boy.
Mm-hmm.
It's very hard, so...
And that's where the research that Dr. Amen was, it started opening up certain things for me where he says, you know, it's hard to get into heaven with a damaged brain. And I see it even with all the people that we work with, that there is that damage. And so it's hard to get them to make good decisions. And so, you know, now I'm looking at, okay, do we do the crisis intervention just to help to bring some kind of balance to make them more receptive to doing the work? Because when they're all, they're not going to stick to a program.
Right.
You know, so what I like about Dr. Amen's program is that he has all of the work, but before he gets people into doing the work, he tries to bring that balance with the various neurotransmitters and things of that nature. And
that's kind of what we do in Sweet Spot with the insulin, right? With, okay, no, I'm not going to tell you to stop eating sugar. No, I'm not going to tell you. I'm going to tell you to take these supplements first to resensitize so then you can do the work.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And so it's been a process. And the other thing that has become extremely blaring to me is the craziness of psychiatry, where they were just playing Russian roulette with him. And they were like trying all of these medications. And I was like, look, you know what? Forget it. I'm taking him. And it turned out to be something completely different that they were not addressed. Even if you wanted to go to the medical.
Right. They weren't on the right neurotransmitter.
Exactly.
Pathway. Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, they don't think it through. I mean, Lynn and I were on a call today where somebody showed a picture of her husband's legs. And she'd been to, I'm like, you got to get this checked out. She goes, I already have. Like, what? And they said it was fine, nothing or fine or like these ulcerations in these deep crevices. I'm like, he's got probably diabetic neuropathy. There may be some sort of an infectious thing going on here. This is not fine. Who told him this was fine? Mm-hmm. Well, and then he had little bumps you could see in the vein going up his leg, you know? And I'm like, he's got something going on in his veins, right? You got to get your Doppler, you got it. And they're like,
My son, and I've been open about it. He's 21 right now, and about the same age as your son, we realized he was actually doing meth. Mm. And so we, right away, it was like, I think I came home from Shine, and within a month, I had him in a rehab in California, which, you know, through all my research, this is going to be the best and most natural, and I wanted to pull my hair out because what they considered good and healthy food was
horrible, all that sugar, horrible,
and the drugs they wanted to put him on, and they probably absolutely hated me. And usually they, after the 3 months, they have them segue over and they said, take him home. And I'm sure it was because of me, because I was calling every week.
Yeah.
And they'd never heard of low-dose naltrexone, only the really high doses. Mm. And I just couldn't agree with you more.
What was funny is that because of how I've trained them, when he went to these places, he refused to take any of the meds. And when I would visit them, he's like, Mom, take me. You're a doctor. You know more than them. Just get me out of here. I'll do what you tell me to do.
That's good. Yeah. And it was confusing for my son because, you know, here are these, they're doctors and nurses and everything. And here comes Mom. Mm-hmm. And he's like, you know, and that made me mad because that
was a war.
Right.
Yeah.
And, so he doesn't do that anymore, but he is totally into marijuana, to pot.
Yeah.
Just the gummies and the dabs.
Mm-hmm.
And all of that stuff. Yeah. I feel really strange that I even know what these words are and what they mean.
I know joint.
Well,
that's old fashioned, I guess.
That's old school. I was told that too.
Yeah.
But so I too have been working on his brain, and I've been writing some notes down for some of the things you've shared.
And Dr. Amen, he has a video that I actually sat down with some of my kids to watch, where it's the video called Which Brain Do You Want? Where he mm-hmm. interviews five teenagers, three mm-hmm. teenagers who have been abusing various stimulants and alcohol and marijuana and things of that nature, and two who haven't. So he talks to them, and then he scans all of their brains, and then he shows them how their lifestyle has affected their actual brains and how you can actually see the damage. And even with the teenager who has not abused anything, she had like overactive, you know, part of the brain. And he said, you know, if you want to ensure that you don't go down that pathway, these are the things you need to do. So he was talking about meditation and exercise and things of that nature and different foods to be able, and heart math. He loves heart math. To be able to calm down that area so that she wouldn't be more likely to go down the marijuana and alcohol pathways.
Well, I did some Ayurvedic things along with just amino acid therapy, and I put the formulation that seemed to work the best there. There was also a Bach flower remedy that was also very helpful.
Which one do you remember?
Yeah, cherry plum. So I'm putting that in the, and there's also the, in this same link, you'll also see the, that quiz, the questionnaire. So you can determine which one might be better. But this one for him was really helpful because of the fears, fears and losing his mind and everything. I've used a few others with him having to do with his own sense of self and whatever, yeah. But that formulation and the baklava remedies is, I mean, he's, we've got a ways to go because we're also doing a lot of transpersonal energy healing type stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I've had him working with other practitioners besides his mother, but at least
yeah. in
language on that.
Yeah. So, and that's really the message that I want to impress upon, the fact that there is that work. So many of our teenagers are just out there and despondent and depressed and anxious. And I guess that's, for me, has been the most challenging part, because I'm like, okay, what could I have done better to fortify my kids? Because I'm like, you know, when that never ever appealed to me, you know, and I've gone through all kinds of crazy things in my life, but we had that resilience and we had that training and we had connection to various things. Mm-hmm. But the teenagers today feel very isolated and disconnected.
Yeah.
And despondent and apathetic and right. and desperate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very common, and the suicide rate is super high.
Exactly. It's the highest.
I have two friends whose kids committed suicide. Two. Like, how many people even have one? That's crazy. And I think that when you say
second only to car accidents.
Yeah. Second to car. Yeah, exactly. Because they're drinking or driving.
Well, there's also toxins in our environment.
Yes.
Yeah. That are really huge in there.
Exactly.
And I know for my son too, because I homeschooled, even though we were active and, you know, he did cross country and all these other things. It was still, the people he was interacting with were low hanging fruit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because mm-hmm. we live in a small town, we are different, and the people there, and he has he's same gender attraction, and so they eat him alive, the, mm-hmm. the cool kids. Mm-hmm. And so he went for low-hanging fruit. So it is a continual work for all of us as a family. He's got things to teach us, and it's hard.
Yes,
it's hard, right?
So that's when you started, I'm like, oh, I'm taking notes. So I really appreciate you doing this.
Yeah. I mean, it's a great conversation for all of us to be hearing. And, you know, your question, we all do that, right? What could I have done better as a mom? Right? Or what did I do wrong?
Yep.
Right? And, you know, we all do.
How could I have been there more, you know?
Could you have been there more? Could you have insisted he had more green drinks and less, you know, whatevers? And,
Even beyond the green drinks, but just to be there more emotionally. You know, where he didn't feel, because even now there's that sense of loneliness inside of him. And of course, he's ostracized everyone at this point because he's been so psychotic. And I mean, the amount of stuff that I've gone through has been just horrific, you know.
And this, you know, you've had a tough road, you know, with your daughter and now this. And
yeah, and so it's like a repetition. And I'll give you a funny. My other daughter said, man, I don't know who's worse, him or Javita.
Oh, wow.
And ironically, he is worse because he has more intellect. So he has more to come back and say, well, I'm not going to do this because of this. And it makes sense, you know.
Yeah.
Whereas with her, she was actually more compliant. Anything I gave her, she would do. You know, so it was actually easier to shift her biochemistry because she would eat everything I gave her. She would take all the supplements. She would exercise with me. And so changing her biochemistry happened like that. You know, relative to this journey where it's just this back and forth, back and forth. Every time I think we're getting into a good groove, then he just throws everything away.
Well, ironically, this is that same child that we talked about in your summit who was put into foster care.
So the journey starts from
this journey starts like what was that early trauma? And a trauma doesn't mean like you beat him up. A trauma is oftentimes something very subtle that as a child's mind we perceive as abandonment or you know, ridicule or whatever, and it imprints in the brain and the nervous system as a trauma.
And that's actually been the tweaking of the definition of trauma, where it has now they've redefined it as how a person interprets the experience as opposed to the experience itself. Because the way I interpret the experience, I may be like, eh, no big deal. But someone else could be completely devastated by the exact same experience.
Yeah.
And that's what creates the trauma.
Yes. Whew. So I hope this gives you some, you know, at least some release to be able to talk about it and a couple of ideas and knowing that you're on the right track and there may be a few other things to look at. And
thank you, Lynn. I'm going to have to download the chat. It usually comes up where you can speak it afterwards or something, I think.
Well, so they're supposed to put these on the page with the with the chat, but copy it, you know.
Yeah, and in the chat, towards the right, it said there's those three dots, and if you click it, it says save chat. When the call is ended, it's automatically
It will go to my folder. Okay, thank you so much, Lynn. It's so good to see you. I haven't seen you forever, Lynn. How's your new life?
it's different and new. But now I do have more time to delve into these things with my family, and that was kind of part of my driving motivation to change my workload. It's not that I have less, it's just different.
New life. Oh, thank you guys.
You're welcome. Anybody have any questions or comments they want to make? I'm not seeing much in the chat. Otherwise we can call it an early night. Not early for me. I have another call after this, but
Oh, but going back just for one moment to the low cholesterol, low LDL, triglycerides. Yeah. Is that a liver issue?
It could be a liver issue. It's not able to make it. It could be, you know, I don't usually see the HDL higher than the LDL. So that's an interesting.
Exactly. Well, aspect. And that's why I was thinking more inflammation.
And HDL will go higher. The level he's at is usually not where we go, oh, that must be inflammation. But as that ratio.
Trend.
Says it's more inflammation. It could be fat malabsorption. That's another thing that it's a possibility of. The triglycerides are not terribly low. I'm not so concerned about that, but the HDL is at 40, LDL is at 44 or something. That's crazy low. I've never seen them that low, right? And cholesterol makes up so much of the brain.
Exactly.
Right? And so I wonder how much of that is causing the brain stuff and how much of the brain imbalance has caused the cholesterol to drop.
How would the brain imbalance cause the cholesterol to drop?
I don't know. I'm just throwing that out there. I don't know how, what mechanism that could cause. I'd have to think that through.
So that's
certainly if there's damage to the brain, right? That would.
Yeah, it would definitely lead to dysfunction in the brain for it to be that low. And then it can start to create havoc with the sex hormones, which again start issues. So granted, I'm not going to tell them to go out there and eat Mickey D's, you know, so
but
how
there are, you can get a cholesterol supplement.
Really?
There was one company, and I don't know who it was. I remember hearing it at a conference years ago that they were giving it to autistic kids. That was helpful, like kids that had super low cholesterol. So look into it. Yeah, you don't want to go out eating junk, but if you can just get a cholesterol supplement to see if that makes a difference.
Because I mean, interestingly enough, he's been, you know, he started eating a lot of sardines and eating the oil out of the can, because usually I throw the oil away. And I'm wondering if there's something inside of him that's guiding him to bulk.
Well, the oil is full of omega-3s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if that would increase the cholesterol.
Here's a 5-supplement, natural supplement. There's a whole bunch of them. Just go look it up and see.
I mean, because you don't really think about increasing cholesterol. We have lowering it. And so many people do have low cholesterol that's creating brain issues.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And they were, I can't remember when, this was a long time ago. It's probably one of those books up there has all the notes from that conference. But there are like which brand is best, the top 5 cholesterol supplements. Let's see what company makes it. I remember it being, I'm thinking almost like Great Plains, but what is cholesterol? Why is it important? Good versus bad versus natural ingredient. Okay. There's one called Cholestem. I'm wondering if these are. No, these are cholesterol lowering. Yeah. That's why there's so many responses. So supplementing cholesterol, I don't know what to actually look for. Might want to say, no, they're all lowering. I was thinking Great Plains Labs. They may, you know, if you're going to order an oat test, you might ask them about that.
Okay. Yeah, because
they may know where.
They should be here tomorrow. So then I'll do that. Okay. Yeah, because that was like, wow, that cholesterol is low and the LDL. I've never seen LDLs low like that. So, yeah. Okay.
I wish I could remember the name of the company.
And the HSCRP was 2.5, which I know is high. Is that like really, really high?
No. It's still within actually the lab range. Like they go up to 3. I like to see it below 1. But so it's not super high, but it is an indication that there's some inflammation.
Okay.
which is unusual, right? Low cholesterol, low LDL, and high, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? It just,
yeah,
it doesn't gel.
Would it possibly start pushing into autoimmune?
If there's an autoimmune thing, there may be an autoimmune thing going on right now. There may be
those
some
types of markers,
antibodies to the brain, right? Yeah. There may be some brain antibodies, and that may be why there is some damage there. That's why I asked if they thought that maybe it was related to the trauma or if it was something that was there. Cyrex has, you know, a panel, and you can do the brain panel. But again, those are not cheap tests. Yeah. Like the full panel of all the antibodies is like $550 or something. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I think they now have panels like the neuro and the cardiac and whatever. And there's at least 3 or 4 brain antibodies mm-hmm. that they check. They check for myelin, anti-myelin antibodies, mm-hmm. which, you know, we think about MS, but there's other things, anti-cerebellar, which affects the balance. There's some, I think there's some for the basal ganglia. Anyway, it's worth looking at and see if there's something there. But I mean, when in doubt, I just say, okay, we're just assume that there's autoimmune going on. And mm-hmm. let's do all the things that we need to do, which is, you know, get rid of heavy metals and molds and stress and mm-hmm. get a good diet and get the blood sugar balance and work on gut. So all the standard stuff, right, is the stuff that's going to affect that, right? So without having to spend, I'm always trying to save people money unless they have a lot, right? Like what can we minimally do to get away with this? Yeah.
So do you think it's worth it to do the oat?
I would think it would be worth it to do the oat. Yeah. Because it's the cheapest way to get the MMA and you get so much more.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I really would like to see you get an MMA because if you're thinking doing B12, I just get nervous if he does have a COMT. You know, homozygous. I don't know if you've done your own. Is he a biological kid or is he one of the adopted kids?
He's my biological. I'll have to look and see. I think I have a hetero COMT, not a homo.
Which means he could have a homo. Yeah.
Okay.
If you were clean, if you had a green, then there's no chance that he has a homozygous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'll go ahead and do the oat then.
Yeah, I think the oat would be a good thing to do at this point because it does show the neurochemistry. It does show the Krebs cycle. It does show the liver stuff. It does show a lot, plus the vitamins and the
Okay.
The gut. You know, you get a sense. It's such a broad test. It has little bits of everything that you can, you know, something to go work on. Like if you see a whole bunch of bacterial markers or fungal markers, then, you know, you need to work on that. Because those guys are going to produce endotoxins that will affect, and they're going to affect brain chemistry, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
So, all the
stuff that they give off. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Exactly. So I think the oat is a good choice.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's here tomorrow, so that'll be good.
Okay. Good. And bring it back when you get the results.
I will.
We want to see what's going on. Anybody else have questions?
Put it all together.
Yeah.
Cindy's good luck with quiet me. Over there, Cindy. Hi.
Oh,
everybody's been quiet today.
Okay. Thank you.
Anybody else want to come on, show your face, wave to us before we go?
I actually have some questions.
Yes, Barbara. Yes, please.
So this is my hot dog man.
Oh.
He's been having a lot of stinky gas and bloating. It's like, he's like, I can't go anywhere, that type of thing. And, he's been taking the Mood Plus and he's been pretty consistent with the other supplements I have him on. He's been doing good with the food. And then he'll cheat, but then things will get better when he cheats. So he doesn't have the stinky gas and he's been having diarrhea. This all started from a sexual encounter, shall we say, back in like 1989. Mm. And what I'm having him do now, because it's like there's too much fiber, I feel, and he hasn't had enough time to mm-hmm. build up good bacteria, the bifido especially, to eat what the fiber is. So I'm having him do some of the cheap foods and some of the more fibrous foods till we can find that good balance where he doesn't. But I, you know, it's almost like going against my grain because it's like,
sure,
you know, but one, he'll be, he's actually in a really good frame of mind. I'm really pleased with that. And I don't blame him. I'm, you know, who wants to clear a room just by,
yeah,
you know? Yeah. And so, and you know, you don't want to have to be running to the bathroom all the time because you have.
No. Diarrhea. So I think in terms of the fiber, but in terms of also that fiber and that change in diet is going to change the ecology.
Exactly.
You know, have him taking any probiotics or probiotics?
Yeah, he's doing the Mood Plus.
So it's definitely going to shift the ecology there. And as you shift it, there's going to be some symptoms. So I think slowing down and backing off. Okay. Have you tried fennel as a gas
yep.
dispersant?
Fennel, and he does ginger. Yeah, he's got a dill. He does, you know, he does those things. It's just, I think because the bacteria that he has in his system is, it just is wiping his immune system down.
And you've tested the bacteria, or you just got guessing? I think you said you did test.
No, right? We did a doctor's data. Yep.
Yeah.
And,
yeah. And is he on the killing substances that was shown in the doctor's data?
Is he on the what?
The killer substances, the antimicrobials that the doctors.
Oh, yes. He's definitely doing antimicrobials.
Have you gone slowly with those? Because sometimes if they go too fast on those, they end up.
I have him doing just a slow, mm-hmm. the lowest.
And if you add
it,
yeah,
it's just back and forth.
Combo. Have you done any biofilm disruptors with him?
He was doing a pomegranate husk.
Serrapeptidase.
There is serrapeptidase in his probiotic.
So yeah, that's kind of interesting.
But that's a good question, though. I'll go back and look at that.
So I usually find if it's too fast for them, I'll stop it and then I'll go back and, you know, do a little. I like to do the biofilms for about 7 to 10 days.
Right.
You know, and maybe after about 7 days, start some of the antimicrobials. And I was working with somebody recently who she was doing great, great, great. And then I had her on a rotation, and one of the rotations was silver, and she got really sick and really bloated and really gassy and felt awful. So I just stopped it. And then she went back and did some other rotations. And then when she went back around, she tried the silver again and the same thing happened. So I said, okay, whatever, we don't know why, but that's not a good one for you.
Right.
You
said silver?
Silver. I mean, for her, that was, yeah.
Yeah, no, I didn't. He's not been doing silver.
But it's just, I'm just saying it could be something else for him. But
right.
That particular one didn't agree with her physiology.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just looking over the things. I have him doing a brown seaweed supplement. It's a fucoidin supplement to help with that as well. Yeah, because these bacteria that are showing up are just, they're all working on his immune system. I mean, they're all just everything having to do with, so the hafnia, the rototurula, the strep, all of that, it's just his immune system. So my focus has been more on building up his immune system.
Right.
Almost more than it is in getting rid of these.
Getting rid of them, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the probiotics, you know, again, some people can't tolerate them, so you have to just stop it for a while because it creates too rapid a rebalancing, and then the killing of the bad guys and the endotoxins they release can create that. So you might want to slow it down a little
bit. Yeah. That's what I was thinking, but I'll tell you, I mean, this is when I go, why am I doing this? I'm no good.
Oh,
there could be somebody else that could do this so much better than me. So
you get the clients that you're intended to get, and we all go through that. Oh my God, am I going to be able to help this person? And you are doing a great job of it. You're coming up with creative solutions and you're listening. And, you know, sometimes it's like, just stop some of that stuff, get them off of everything for a week, and then one at a time, add things back in to see if there's a connection between a particular food. It could be a particular food. It could be a particular supplement. And so many times we just give them like three or four things to do. Eat this, don't eat that.
And that's exactly, it's exactly as far as supplements, especially. And even with the food, I just kind of gave him a list of a few things and you saw what he did.
It was great. But it may be just that you have to go backwards to go forwards.
Right. Yeah. And that was just like, why I wanted to ask on this call. Is that okay? Because, we don't normally tell our clients to eat bread or.
No, I wouldn't have them do that.
Well, that's what he was eating.
Yeah. Mm. That's, you can make, you can have them make better choices.
Right.
Without having just so much fiber. Sure. Have them do pots of brown rice or have them do quinoa.
Well, that's what he's doing. He's doing quinoa and brown rice and vegetables.
Those are the things that you think maybe.
Those are the things that are
triggering. Yeah.
Triggering it. So it may be that he adds in, what did he say? He had some rye bread, an egg salad sandwich on rye bread. I know. That's why I'm like,
ugh. Yeah, but at least get him to do millet bread. You know what I mean? Like, I would be real careful with that because there's so much stuff that happens with the gluten sensitivity. Right. And then you're going to start from scratch again.
Yeah.
So I would play with other things other than getting him to eat bread again.
Yeah.
Okay.
At least he didn't eat hot dogs.
Good. He's off the hot dogs. Hot dog man has quit the hot dog.
All right.
Anybody else have any questions or comments before we go? Let's see. Oh, now that's. No? All right. I'll open your line so we can all say hello, goodbye. Let's see. Where is this thing? I'm looking down. I'm standing on my balance board, so I'm high above my thing. Mute all, unmute all. There it is. There we go. Bye, everybody. Have a good one.
Bye. Enjoy. Bye. Thank you.
And there's Barbara.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Happy New Decade. New Year, new you. I'm doing a Facebook Live tomorrow. So join me on that one. So, send people there. All right, guys. Bye.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye.